History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today we're chatting with Brad Thorne. He's played as a footy player for the Brisbane Broncos, the Queensland Maroons, the Kangaroos, and also the All Blacks. He's a real legend, and I actually bumped into him at the shops the other day and said, "Hey, mate, we should do another interview." And here we are. We've lined it up. How are you, mate?
Very good, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, mate, it's great to chat. Now, I've heard you share your story at our soup kitchen a couple of times now, and you've always been so inspiring to share your story. Let's talk a bit about footy first. How did you start getting into footy?
Well, I was into rugby union because I'm New Zealander, so I was born in New Zealand. That is the game that we play over there. That's what we played for over 100 years. You know, the All Blacks is the forefront of every young Kiwi boy's mind when it's growing up. So, yeah, I started playing rugby in New Zealand up until I was 8 years old, and we were like a lot of Kiwi families that came across to Australia for looking for more opportunities. So, yeah, we moved across when I was 9 years old in the mid-80s and went to a state school over in Australia. Sort of the private school kids play rugby, but the state school kids, you know, play league generally. So that's how I ended up playing league. And, you know, I had some talent with a father that challenged me in my mid-teens around, you know, my work ethic. And he gave me a run to do in a state forest out at Albany Creek, out where I grew up. And it sort of got me in the right direction to be able to continue to improve. And, you know, I ended up getting signed up for the Broncos and having a 10-year career there. And then going back to New Zealand to try and achieve that boyhood dream of one day being an All Black, and got to do that as well. So that's almost like a life story.
It's amazing how you've achieved those dreams, mate. You've played alongside some of the best players around the world. You've been a solid player, playing over 500 games and finishing your career at the age of 41. It's an incredible career. And you've released a book called Champions Do Extra. And you talk about your journey from being the laziest kid in the team to the hardest worker, and you really became competitive. I'm surprised, mate. Were you a lazy kid, really?
I had my junior coach, I think it was under 14s, and he said in the 15 years he'd been at the club, he said I was the laziest player. he'd say. So we were a very competitive family. There was always competitiveness, and I had talent. You know, as a 12-year-old, I'd played, you know, state for Australian rules. You know, I had talent. I was a bigger kid. I was like 6 foot by the time I was 13. But when I got into mid-teens, talent wasn't enough. You know, other kids are putting effort in and whatever with the rugby league, and I wasn't sort of pushing through in the representative scene. So yeah, it got to a point where my dad just, I was 16 years of age, and my dad had sort of just had enough. He'd been driving me around these different places. You know, he saw that I had talent, but it wasn't being realised, and he stepped in, and basically it was just a bit of a hard word. He said, look, I'm sick of driving around these places and you're not fit enough. You know, you don't have the intent. You don't have it. You know, there's a run in the state forest, you know, nearby that I do. I want you to go and do it. And basically anything that was flat or downhill was to jog, but any hill was to sprint. And he said, otherwise I'm not giving you a lift anymore. I've had enough. And I went, oh, okay. And so I started doing the run. My first time I did it, I remember halfway through it just stopping and actually saying out loud, this feels good, you know. And I really believe that was just this turning point for me. I thank God for it. I kept on doing that run and my whole mindset changed. I obviously got fitter, but my mentality, you know, the work ethic, the discipline, all the stuff that came from that transformed me. And I never didn't make a rep team again. You know, I'm grateful for my father being a strong role model, and, you know, he stepped in there, and he didn't, I lost my dad at 19. He didn't see, he only saw me play 7 games.
Oh, man.
For the Broncos, but you know, I thank God that, you know, the impact he had, our father, how he was with my mom, and for me and my brother, such a great role model.
Well, mate, you have played along some incredible people, Gordon Tallis, Kevvy Walters, Alan Langer, Darren Lockyer, you know, some of the best names in rugby league. You had a bit of a turning point in life when there was a bloke named Jason Stevens that started hanging out with you. Tell us about that encounter.
Oh, yeah, well, he was in the... He played for Cronulla, so he's our opposition, and he's a tough hombre, big guy. And we were very competitive with the Sharks. We played a grand final in 1997, where we actually got the win there. But yeah, I was playing for Australia with him. I played against him in New South Wales, but for Australia, and we were front row for Australia. So we had a three-test series in Great Britain. He's a Christian who was well-known, and we became friends on that tour. And I'd grown up in New Zealand. We went to church. I had a real, you know, as a kid, a real faith in Jesus. I loved the Lord. And we came to Australia, and we went to a church, but we didn't feel, you know, we didn't like it, or we didn't feel comfortable, and we just stopped going altogether. So all those teenage years, early teenage years, you know, nothing to do around God. And my mum and dad, through a neighbour, ended up going back to church when I was around 15. My brother, who had sort of come to a space as being, you know, sorry, he's an atheist, he had a friend at school, asked him to come along to church, and he actually impacted him, because about a month later he'd given his life to the Lord, and I was the sort of final piece, and I went along to church with mum and dad, and that, you know, be the guy at the back who left straight away, and I sort of had my life going on, had a belief in God and stuff, but I was doing things my way, and my footy career was taking off. You know, by 17 I'd signed with the Broncos, 19 I was playing first grade, and as I said, how I met Jason, I was by 22 I was playing for Australia. So I'd signed $1 million 3-year contract. I had everything I'd sort of dreamed of. That year, at that time leading up to meeting Jason, I was actually spending a lot of time thinking, actually got everything I've dreamed of, and I'm in a space where, you know, I always wanted to be, and I feel an emptiness. I don't feel fulfillment, and, you know, the ego and all the stuff that went with it, the lifestyle, it was an interesting lifestyle. Yeah, I guess womanizing, stuff like that. There was just there was a sadness, there's an emptiness in it. For me, it was quite confusing. How can I have everything and not be happy and not have peace in that? So yeah, I met Jason on that tour. We talked, and you know, he asked me about my faith, and I told him I like Christians, they're nice people. One day when I'm a nice person, I'll be a Christian, but at the moment, you know, I'm not necessarily that nice. And he said, yeah, I said, when I change one day, then I'll be a Christian. And he said, you need Jesus. Jesus changes you. You know, it's not you change you. It's, you need Jesus in your life. That had an impact on me. You know, talked about what Jesus did for us through his death and resurrection, and, you know, that he wants to have a relationship with us. Yeah, I'd probably heard that many times, but I think I was ready to really hear it. I went back from that tour a couple of months later, and I was actually getting even looser. You know, I was getting, my life was pretty loose living. Yeah. And I got up one morning at my house. I just knew, I just felt I was going down. And like I said, there was that emptiness, and I thought, I'm going to do what Jason said. I'm going to ask Jesus to come into my life. So I said a prayer, and basically I just said, it was quite funny sort of prayer. I said, Jesus, if you're there, I don't know if you're there or not, but if you're there, please forgive me for my sins. Yeah, just things I've done, you know, pretty bad, not so bad, whatever, but for all that I've done, please forgive me. And here's the keys, like the keys of the car. Here's the keys you drive. Like, you can please come into my life, turn this life around. I surrender, I submit this life to you. Nothing, no ray of light or gospel music. I was in my house by myself, and I got up and I got on with my day, and I just thought, I'll keep it to myself, and I don't want to be a guy that says I'm a Christian and then I'm carrying on loose living, all this sort of stuff, being a hypocrite. And what I noticed was, as the days went by, something had changed inside. It was different. I thought, I've just asked Jesus into my life. I'm going to go back to the Bible and just learn about them and read about them again. You know, I sort of knew all the stories, but as time I read the four Gospels, you know, I started with Mark, I think it was the easiest. What I found was in the past, I sometimes would struggle to read the Bible, you know. Might be didn't know where to read, or it was a bit boring or whatever. I couldn't put the Bible down. It was just really speaking to me, and sort of joy in my heart, and I felt a peace. How I was probably the easiest way to say how things felt for me or changed was in the past that had been all about me. Everything was what I could get, what I was about. People were way under that. And then there was God, how they thought about, sort of reversed where God, how he wanted me to live, him and my life, became a massive priority, how I went about day-to-day, spending time with him in the Word. Praying, people became so much more important, how they were, could I help, you know, caring about people. And then there was myself, and over time, I guess, yeah, you're developing, and just through your standing before God, you know, that humility comes, just all the qualities of Christ, of God's nature. Over, you know, to this day, I guess I'm constantly, he's transforming me, and you're growing in your faith in the Lord. So over a few months, 2-3 months later, you know, one of my teammates saying, you know, what's going on, Thorny? You know, so that was interesting, because I felt like it wasn't just me feeling change, but people were seeing a bit of change in my life. And that's basically, yeah, how I became a Christian, and, you know, married, 4 children, you know, 30 years later, I'm a 50-year-old man now, and, you know, Christ is my rock, is my strength, and, yeah, that's where I stand.
So good, mate. Well, it's wonderful to hear how God has transformed your life. And I know you actually came to our King's Table community meal with the Reds, the rugby team, when you were coaching them. And yeah. you brought them along. They all were able to serve food and minister to the homeless. And you actually shared your testimony, and people were so impacted by your story. I just love the fact that you're getting out there, you're using the platform that God's given you to share your testimony, and you've now got this book out. It's called Champions Do Extra. I know it's available at Coorong and other book platforms. People can get it from all over the place. Let's hope and pray many people are impacted by your testimony and your story, and also inspired by your success as well, hey?
Yeah, I really appreciate that, Matt. And it's funny how we bumped into each other. Yes. because, yeah, we'll see how the book goes. Yeah, it's hopefully, yeah, if someone picks that up, and they, you know, the people who don't know the Lord, they can hopefully be encouraged by it. So, yeah.
Amen. Good on you, Brad. It's so good to catch up with you, mate, and we pray for the Lord's blessing on you. I reckon you're a history maker. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Cheers.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.
Looking for fashion that feels like you? Kindred Boutique is where style meets heart. From effortlessly chic outfits to those little details that make all the difference, Kindred Boutique curates pieces you'll love wearing again and again. Thoughtfully chosen, beautifully made, perfect for every day and special moments. Because at Kindred Boutique, it's not just about clothes, it's about connection. Discover your new favourites at Kindred Boutique. Shop online now at kindredboutique.com.au. Find your style, find your people.